Blog Talk Radio.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right, looking for a ray of hope.
Starting with that because I want you to know right off the bat that you are an overcomer. There's no doubt about that. If you have already established a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and you've asked him to come into your life and to make a change, well, the Word of God says that you are more than a conqueror through him that loved us. And it's the power of his love that gives us the power to live this life and to go through the many challenges and battles that we face. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans, and this is Don't Give Up. And today I wanted to kind of wrap up some loose ends as I've been going through this series for the last 3 weeks or so on the topic of us as believers in this world and human beings at the same time, and having real emotions and real urges and real desires, desires that can be actually good and healthy and created for us to be able to enjoy, but within the right context. And of course, I'm talking about our sexuality. And it is not a good thing to pretend that just because you are a Christian that you're no longer a sexual human being. That would be incorrect. You are still a sexual being. It's how that is manifested and how that goes about. And I just want to talk from the heart, from my many years of experience in terms of walking this out. And I don't want to make any bare bones about it, that there's difficulties, there's struggles, and many are suffering with the battle of how to deal with this. In fact, I actually find that there are way too many who aren't courageous enough to want to discuss this topic, and I find that many feel very uncomfortable at the very mention of it. If you put it out there, it's this dead silence in the room or an elephant in the room kind of thing. And so I just wanted to come into my comfort zone and bring you into it. And, of course, we are going to phone lines. If anyone's struggling in this area or you have a question, it will be anonymous. You do not have to give a name. If you have a question, if you want prayer, the number is 855-236-3033, and I'll be glad to share with you what I have learned over the years in regards to this. You, each one of us who are listening right now, you're precious, and you have a purpose, and I want that to be very, very clear. And so I'm speaking to all ages, all races, it doesn't really matter, and so today's show, you're going to have a mixture of rap and reggae, R&B and pop, because it doesn't matter what walk of life you're in. What matters is your commitment to the Lord and your commitment to walk out your faith and to really do it in a way that is going to bless your life and bless God at the very same time, and that's absolutely possible. And we know that from the pulpit, you know, we get the preaching. You know, this is not something that God desires for us to enter into outside of the context of marriage. What I find, though, is that even though that's said from the pulpit, there doesn't seem to be a real belief that we actually won't do it. And when that belief is not there, it actually belies the message, and it comes through that the belief that we can actually carry it out is not there. And so I'm coming from a different place today. I believe that if people know how, if they're given the skills and the tools and the ability to speak freely about the issue, that they actually can be empowered to make better choices for their future and to live a very powerful Christian life. You know, I find that oftentimes Christians are shocked when they hear my story, and they hear how many years it's been. Now, I'm not wishing that on anybody. It is my desire that as you step out in faith, God will meet you, and you will find that person, and you guys can join that, your walk together. But it also depends on how his timing and how much you're willing to allow him to mold you. But I always find it interesting how shocked other Christians are that you actually are doing what the Word of God says. And it's funny because, not completely funny, but I remember years ago when I was first separated, and it must have been about 6 months after the separation, and I was speaking with a wonderful sister, but she was floored that 6 months had passed and I had no sexual activity at all in my life. And she thought, oh my gosh, you know. And I can understand from one perspective, but at the same time, I was getting over something and the wounds were fresh and there's healing that needs to happen. And I think for all of us, whether we've never had a sexual encounter, whether we have and we don't want to continue on that path, whether we're divorced or widowed, and we're at this place where we need to maintain our celibacy, our abstinence, our purity, our life without sex outside of marriage, It's only God's power that can sustain that for us. And it is a big deal. We shouldn't act like it isn't a big deal and like it's just something easy, breezy to do. But it's something that can be done. And I think the first issue is to really understand it and to admit it. And I love Lecrae has a song called Check In. And he's talking about, you know, that's from his CD Rehab. And I love it because we have to get to this point where we admit, hey, this is an issue and it's weighing on me and it hurts sometimes and it's a problem. And until we admit that and can actually look in the mirror and deal with it and say, God, I need your everything in order to just even make it through these next 5 seconds, that's what we have to do. So I'm encouraging us today to check in. Now, for some of you who are like, I did not get those lyrics, let me help you out with some of them, okay? And I'm not a rapper, so don't laugh. But he says here, I know I'm sick and my addiction got me itching every day. I need a fixin'. I ain't quitting till it kill me. You know, sometimes we're going through something and we know it's a problem for us. We know it's taking us down. But, you know, whether it's drugs, alcohol, in this case we're talking about sex, the issue is there is something about that thing that is a lure. There's a draw. And, of course, you know, this is something that was designed to feel good. This is something that was designed to be euphoric. And so, therefore, there's that natural tendency to want to reach for that. If you are stressed out, if you're angry, if you want to share happiness. But, again, that thing that's drawing you that is natural and good can easily turn into something that is desiring to destroy you. And he goes on to say, yeah, we're grasping for the emptiness, hoping we can catch something, handful of scars, cuts, burns, as the flesh wants, verge of insanity. Stop me, for I'm gone. I say I'm gone, I say I'm going quit, but I'm at it in the morn. So, you know, it's the promises that we make to ourselves when we say, you know, never again, I'm not going to do this. But let me just not jump ahead a little bit. I want to take you back and share a little story with you when I was engaged. And we were going through marriage counseling, and it got to a point where getting closer and closer to the wedding date. And I was really a new believer, and there was many things that I didn't know and I didn't understand. And so I asked my counselor, which was a married couple, and I felt very, very comfortable with them, but it still took a lot of courage to ask this question. You guys probably know what the question is, because almost every teenager asks it at some point in time, whether they ask it out loud or to someone else or in their mind. And I said, well, since the wedding is approaching, how far are we able to go? You know, what's the line? What's the cutoff? And it turns out that I kind of embarrassed my marriage coach a little bit. And he didn't really know how to answer the question since it was so direct. And I guess most young people don't ask the question. And I asked the question, and the answer, of course, wasn't clear. So let me help you out with that a little bit, okay? If you're asking the question, you're already on the wrong premise, because it's really not an issue of how far can I go ever. Right? Because with anything that soothes our body, we can take it too far. And what happens with our body is the more you give it, the more it wants. So you could say, I'll just have one Lay's potato chip. But as the advertisement says, you can't have just one. There's something about it that makes you want to eat the whole bag. So it's a lure, again. And so the more you experiment, the more you put yourself out there, the more the desire grows, and the more the closer and closer you get to that point where you are really infringing on having sex outside of marriage. So the question, that's part A of the answer, but there's more to it than that. We can definitely get more detailed. Pressure, peer pressure, we hear about it all the time, but couple pressure, that also exists. And yes, we hear about the fact that guys still to this day are using the line, if you love me, you know, show me. And if you love me, at least go this far, you know. And it's the reverse is also happening in terms of guys feeling pressure from other guys. Well, you've not done anything. You're still a virgin. What's going on with you? These are pressures that are coming from the outside. But when we have a sense of our own identity, right, then that becomes less. And I'm going to touch more on that in a little bit. But pressure is a big piece of this. And I applaud some big name people, not because they're celebrities. However, the fact that they're celebrities and they're coming out to say, I'm a virgin, or I've decided to be abstinent until I'm married, or, you know, it's a wonderful thing when I see a grown man in his 30s like Devon Franklin, who's stood there as a believer who was a virgin. I'm sorry, that's not correct. He was a believer, and he said that he was going to maintain his celibacy until marriage. And he, too, did that for 12 years until the Lord brought someone to him. And his fiancée, who's now his wife, Megan Good, had already committed, before she even went into a relationship with him, committed to a lifestyle of celibacy. And they entered that marriage, that engagement together, with both of them already being on that side of the promise. And now both of them are really reaping the fruit of that, not just the physical fruit, but the mental and the emotional and the spiritual fruit of that. And I believe they're going to continue to reap that fruit for many years to come. Another person, Mary J. Blige, she was in a relationship with someone who was a believer, and they kept showing her the word and the reading together, and she made her profession of faith. And when she started to see for herself what the word of God said in regards to sex outside of marriage, you know, she realized that they couldn't continue in a lifestyle like that. And together they made the promise that they would have an abstinent relationship and would come together once they were married. And what's interesting here is that many times people will not do what the Lord is calling them to do because they're afraid that it'll hurt the other person's feelings or the other person will walk away or not understand. But the power of God is so amazing that when you step into what God has for you, and if that person is the person that the Lord brought into your life, they will come in agreement with you, and it will be even better. But if not, they will go their separate ways, and it will hurt, but it will be the better thing for you in the long run. And that's a hard lesson to learn. You might be asking, Jackie, what scriptures are you talking about? And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and chapter 7, there's a lot of discussion about the importance of keeping sexual morality, right? And for the wife to keep her body for her husband and vice versa, for the fact that is good for a man or a woman not to have sexual relations. However, if you're married, it's perfectly fine to have sexual relations. This is outside of marriage. And that we really need to flee or run from the opportunities that present themselves and will present themselves for us to compromise that. We are all desiring love, each and every one of us. All we need is love. That's all we're asking. It sounds corny, but that is what we're looking for. But that's also what God already provided, love. He is love. And he said that there's nothing that he can't accomplish. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And if that's a love that you haven't experienced yet, it's as simple as confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. And in that moment, you will receive the gift spirit. And with reading the word and some other tools I'm going to give you in a little bit, you will start to grow. Love is the key. CC Winans, all that I need is love. You are listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I am Jackie Wayans, your host, and we are discussing sexuality today, but sexuality from God's perspective, not in a way that is driving a hammer of condemnation, because that really is not of God, but a way that is encouraging you to say that, listen, he wants the absolute best for you, and it's time for us to want the best for ourselves. And oftentimes we close that door, and we are the ones who are slowing things down and keeping progress from happening in our lives. And so, you know, the question that I'm asked is, you know, why are we so ashamed? Why are those who are virgins or celibate or, you know, have made the decision to wait on the Lord for the person he's going to bring into our lives, for us to share our hearts and our minds and our bodies with one person for the rest of our lives, or if it's a case of looking for a second chance or a do-over, that the Lord is able to do that. And there's no reason to be ashamed of that. The only time shame can come into the picture, as I started off saying, is when you know that you are making choices that is outside of the Word of God, when you know that you are compromising, when you know that each time you see this person or each time you turn on your computer, that you're going to be inching closer and closer to the danger zone, and it's possible to go right off the cliff. And so whatever God says in his Word for us not to do is not because we're prudes, it's not because he's keeping us from fun, I've said this before, but it's because he's trying to protect us. He's protecting our hearts, he's protecting our minds, he's protecting our bodies. He knows the consequences, the outcomes, he knows how long it's going to take to get over a mistake. And some mistakes we really can't recover from. And so God is desiring to protect us from all of that. But even in that, shame is not still not the right word, because the scripture says a righteous man falls seven times, but a righteous man gets up again, and not on his own, by his own strength, but he gets up and goes to the Father, and the Father is the one who considers him righteous, not because of his behavior, but because of the work that he has done in that person. And I've shared with you on earlier shows verses that come out of Philippians 1:6 and 2:13 that guarantee the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ says he is faithful and just to complete the work that he started in you. So what does that mean? And I want to be really careful. It doesn't mean continue in the way that you are, because the reality is, if you really love somebody, there's no way you want to continue hurting them, right? And so because I love the Lord and because I desire to please him, even though I have my own desires, I put them second to his desires. Now, that sounds easy, but I'm going to break it down for you. I promise you, it's not easy. There's a depiction that I saw of Joseph many, many years ago. It was a cartoon. And at first I got offended. And then I thought about it and I said, you know what, this is probably accurate. And I'm going to say it, and some of you might get offended, but Potiphar's wife was very attractive, and she had the perfume and the hair and all that. I could just picture it. I have a very creative imagination. And here he is, a handsome teenager. He wasn't in his 30s. He wasn't, you know, mature. He was a teenager. And could he have had a physical response? Could there have been urges going on in his physical body? Yes, that is absolutely possible. But we don't read the scriptures that way or look at people like human beings. But more than likely, that was the case. But what's great about Joseph is that he said this: how could I do such a thing and sin against my God? That means that this is a person who really thought about it, and he pondered it, and in the end, his love for God won out. And to the fact that he ran and he fled the situation. And you know what? Sometimes we have to run. Sometimes we just have to get out of it. I've made plenty of mistakes. I don't want to sit here, you know, like I have been Miss Perfect. I haven't had the issue of actually, you know, not being celibate, not being abstinent, right? But that doesn't mean there aren't struggles. Some people struggle with the things they watch. Some people, it's with the things they think. Nobody can see what you're thinking, but God knows what you're thinking. And so these are the areas that we have to guard, that we have to protect. And I wanted to really make that very clear. And also, we can't buy into the lie that says everyone out there is having fun and I'm just over here having a horrible time, because that is a lie. A lot of people who are out there engaged in sexual activity outside of marriage are experiencing pain physically, emotionally, or spiritually. And it manifests itself in so many different ways in terms of how people are hurting. But whether it's prayer pressure, whether it's, the lies that are being told to you via television or movies or whatever, if you knew the truth about you, if you understand how God sees you as the apple of his eye, as precious, so precious that he gave his life for you so that you could spend eternity with him in glory. That's not just for them. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, not less abundantly. Your life is not more tied up in chains and bondage because you came to the Lord. No, you have freedom. But unless you know that truth, unless you really know it, just not heard it, but have embraced it, it's not going to be real to you. And that's what we have to get to.
If only I could see me as you see me, and understand the way that I am loved. Would it give a whole new meaning to my purpose? Change the way I see the world? Would I sparkle like a star in the night sky? Would I give a little more instead of take? If I understood I'm precious like a diamond, of a worth no one could estimate. I'm a worth no one could estimate. You say lovely, I say broken. I say guilty, you say forgiven. I feel lonely, you say you're with me. We both know it would change our.
truth about me.
Mandisa, the truth about me. A lot of us just don't believe the truth about ourselves. Not the truth we tell ourselves, but the truth that is in the Word of God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Philippians 4. Can you really? Yes, you can do all things. All things, not some things, but all things through Christ who strengthens me. So can you withstand it? Can you get through it? Yes, but only if you lean on his strength, not one day at a time, because I can tell you something as powerful as this needs more. It needs day by day, second by second, because the word also says in that same chapter, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. There isn't one need, not one need that we have that God can't supply. And so I'm going to give you some practical pointers as we draw close towards the end of the show that can help you deal with this. And it is something you're going to have to deal with. I think we want a magic pill and we want to just wake up and not be able to feel anything. I know I'd be happy with that. And then be able to take another pill when it's time to feel something. But no, that's not the way it works. We have to be just surrendered and a living sacrifice. And that's what the word says. So there's three areas, right? You need a proper mental state, a proper physical state, and a proper spiritual state. Okay, those three areas have to be addressed. I'm going to start with the proper spiritual state. So we already identified that if you are not in a position right now and you're listening to this where you have not said, Lord, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came and you died and you rose again. You are alive with all power and seated on the throne, and you died for my sins so that I don't have to pay that price. That all you have to do is confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and Jesus Christ will come into your life and give you the power to understand his word and understand how to live this life. So now, for those of you who are listening who have already made that decision, I want you to understand that the scripture said in regards to a little boy that was in bondage, the disciples tried to deliver him from that bondage and they could not. And Jesus said to them, this kind can only come out through prayer and fasting. I'm going to tell you point blank that with this particular issue in terms of sex drive, okay, you must pray diligently, but you also have to fast. The reality is that fasting puts our flesh, our body, into check. So if we're overeating, it takes care of that. If we have certain cravings, it takes care of that. Well, those cravings also include sexual desires. And I find that when I fast, even if it's just for 24 hours, it really brings that in check. So that is a key. And you might be saying, well, Jackie, gosh, you know, first you're telling me no sex, now you're telling me no food. No, don't take it to this extreme. I'm trying to help you here. I found this to be a really great tool. The other spiritual tool that you need is accountability, an accountability partner, someone that you trust, someone who has walked through this themselves. Okay, I'm going to give you a tip. Even someone who may be married and in a happy marriage with a wonderful spiritual outlook might not be able to help you walk through this. You actually may need someone who has either gone through celibacy themselves or really understands the challenge that you're facing, because this is not the type of problem where a accountability partner is helpful at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. It's 3 a.m. in the morning or 5 a.m. in the morning, right? It might be at midnight. That's when you might need to reach out and call somebody and say, listen, I'm having a really rough time. Hence, part B to this is it has to be someone who's of the same sex as you, because if you're doing this with another gender, you can kind of intertwine your emotions unintentionally. So it's just a safeguard. You have to safeguard your heart, and you want to really protect yourself where that's concerned. So have someone that you can relate to who's older, wiser, and has walked the path that you're trying to walk right now. Hey, that's just like even a business motto. So this is something that is extremely important to do. Okay, number two, proper physical state. You got to keep busy. Some people, when it comes to arousal, are morning people. Some, it's any time of the day. But let's say you're a morning person, and you wake up in the morning, and you know, even before that, you had a long night, you're looking forward to a good night's sleep, and you just want to lounge in the bed. Guess what? Lounging in the bed will be a problem for you. You have to get up, start your day, and stay busy. If you are a guy, guess what? Guys who stay active in sports, who keep themselves engaged in different activities, community service, there's less opportunity and chance. It doesn't mean that you're – because your body is actually designed as males to discharge all of your buildup every couple of days, okay? So unless you are intentionally manipulating that, God has already designed a way for your body to just deal with that. The key is to keep your mind clear, and so that is the last piece of the puzzle, which is the mental state. But the one thing for the ladies I want to say about the physical state, a lot of times people talk about our outer garments in terms of what we show. We're saying, you know, if you show it, you're saying to the person, you're inviting the person to touch it. But I want to talk about the hidden garments, your undergarments. That's right, I'm going there. The reality is, you know, this movie came out with Steve Harvey last year sometime, and they brought it up in the movie, and they're not wrong. You know, you can laugh all you want, but those granny panties, when you're wearing them, all you feel is comfortable, and you're not thinking about anything else. But I guarantee you, when you put on lace and leopard and all of that stuff, it's fine if you're married, but if you're not married, what happens is, and I'm not making this a rule, but I'm just telling you something that mentally it's preparing you, it's putting you in a thought pattern. Even when you see yourself in a mirror, it causes you to ask yourself questions or say, you know, things like, oh, too bad I don't have anyone to share this with. And it just goes from one thing to the next. Our minds are extremely powerful. So you want to make sure that you're just guarding yourself as much as possible. I'm not saying at all to look frumpy. Definitely be a woman, be feminine, be your best. But, you know, as women, we don't have to oversell it at all. It's just there. God's just made us fabulous, okay? The mental state. This is where it really down to it. And I think for me, that's where most of the battle is, the mental place. You know, we always think about what we want, and what happens too is we relay that in our prayers in a way like, Lord, I don't have, I need, I want, and there are times when you pray, and it seems like after you pray, it has just intensified and gotten worse. Well, it's because of the way you prayed. You prayed from a place of lack instead of giving God thanks for who you are, how he's made you, what he's going to do in your life, putting your mind somewhere else as opposed to putting your mind in the lack zone. And when you put your mind in that place, it just intensifies it and increases it. The other thing you need to do is guard your ears, your eyes, and your mouth. So for myself, I'm a lover of music. Music impacts me deeply. Some people are not that impacted by music. I am. So therefore, in order for me to go this path, and I have to thank a brother in the Lord who is now, I ask for your prayers for him, Carmen. We know him as Carmen, and he did a free concert in the Bronx decades ago. And I was a young newlywed at the time, and I never knew that I would need the advice that he was giving. But Carmen, living an abstinent lifestyle himself for a very long time, and he did things to guard himself, and he talked about who he surrounded himself with and how he managed his travel team and everything to keep from being in an opportunity to stumble. But one of the things that he mentioned was music and the things we watch. And I realized for myself that I could not continue to listen to R&B music or even really some Christian songs, but they just have a really strong R&B feel to them, because for me, that music will just take my mind somewhere, even if it's just to the place of, why don't I have this? How come everyone else has, you know, that woe is me thing. So to keep that from happening, I have to eliminate that force. And I know it's only for a season, but I have to eliminate it. For me, movies, I'm not a big rated R fan movie, as you could probably tell, but I have to be careful with even some simple, what some people would be say, or simple like a Hallmark movie or something like that, because again, you get caught up in that romance and wonder, and you want to just put yourself in the picture. And it's fun and easy at the time to do that, but a couple of hours or a couple of days later, you find yourself back in that woe is me. Also, I'm a grown adult. I'm 46 years old, and I was doing a project for our youth group, and I went on Google Images to search for something. I put in a very harmless tag, and up came some pictures that I didn't appreciate, and I got really angry, because here I am trying to protect these things, and I did nothing to try to instigate it, and there it was on my screen. And it may not cause you a problem in that moment, but in a day or two, it kind of does. So I put a filter on my computer, because you can't say, well, I'm an adult, I can not have a filter. Put the filter on. It just helps you. And listen, each one of these things by themselves might not seem like a big deal, but when you put them all together, the fasting, the praying, the accountability partner, keeping yourself busy, guarding, you know, what you wear, how you present yourself, and especially your thoughts and protecting your eye, ears, and what comes out of your mouth, the things that you say, these things will keep you from having a cracked door. These things will help keep you on what we call the straight and narrow.
With you, I wanna be.
Put your spirit
in me
and find.
All right. As one of my favorite pastors says, let's land this plane. You know, I'm doing this because I realize that there's some who will never have the courage to ask the question or to talk about the issue. And I don't like regrets. I had a situation a few years ago at a church I was attending. I loved and love everyone there. And I had an opportunity at the sisters group to talk about this issue. And I wanted to address the topic of oral sex and masturbation and all of those things. And I didn't. I let it slide. And if I timed it from the day that I thought about doing it to the time one of our young ladies became pregnant and had a baby, I realized that if it was not for anyone else in that room, just from the timing of things, I was supposed to say it that day for her, because she might have been wondering right about then, should I go left, should I go right, which way should I go? And it would have been great if I had the courage at that time to say what God had placed on my heart to say. So one last thing I want to say to you is that you are going to hurt. No doubt about it. There are going to be times that you cry. There are going to be times where you cry in the shower, when you want to bang your head against the wall. You're going to go through it. So I'm not going to make it seem like you won't. But when you actually get through a day and you wake up the next morning, you're like, oh, man, I made it through. I'm okay. I did it. And you have more power now and more strength to go through it the next time. And every time you say no to this body and yes to the spirit, guess what? The body gets weaker. The spirit gets stronger. So it's going to be hard, but you have to think about what your goal is, not just the eternal goal. Yes, we want that, right? But for this life, what is it? What's the picture that you want? What are you reaching for? Do you need to be made whole? Are there things and areas in your life that you know you need to fix before you even get into a relationship with anyone? What type of person are you trying to attract to you? Because if you're still broken in certain areas, guess what? You're going to attract someone who's still broken in certain areas, and the two of you will just make a big mess together. So take the time to work on yourself so that you can reach the finish line and so that you can be free. Yes, freedom is what God is talking about. You know, a lot of times this story gets flipped, and it's like, no, we're putting you in bondage. We're telling you what you can't do. No, this is about giving you freedom. The power is in the ability to say no. That is freedom. And to know why you're saying it and when you're going to say yes. And that the moment you say yes, that it will be all good and nothing will be left on the table. The Bible talks about the bed being undefiled. What happens between a husband and a wife is so powerful, so beautiful. Talib Hudson was on last week, and he talked about the power of sexuality. It's a powerful thing, and that's why it's so dominant in the world today as it is. But let's do it God's way. I encourage you, listen, find me on Facebook. I'm there. You can hit me up on Blog Talk Radio. And let's keep the dialogue going. Next week, we're going to switch to a wonderful group that I love called Mosaic. We're going to have them featured on their show and their new CD. And until then, I want you to walk in complete freedom. Don't give up on yourself. Be your best hero, because God will not give up on you.
For the first time in my life, I'm at peace that you are called at faith.
night.